Welcome back, everyone. Today's topic, it's one that we don't often hear a lot about.
Yeah, it's kind of flown under the radar, hasn't it?
The Book of Nehemiah. And we've got some incredible listener material that takes a purely secular look at this book, which is awesome.
A fresh perspective.
Right. We love it. So we're really excited to get into this.
Okay, so for those who need a refresher, Nehemiah, he's this cupbearer to the Persian king, like way back in the 5th century BCE.
A cupbearer, huh? That's a pretty important job, isn't it? I mean, you're responsible for making sure the king doesn't get poisoned.
Exactly. Talk about a high pressure gig. But anyway, he hears that the walls of Jerusalem are basically rubble. And this guy, this cupbearer, gets this overwhelming urge to go rebuild them.
That's pretty wild. I mean, that's a huge undertaking. And for someone who isn't a builder or anything, it's even more impressive.
Totally. So this all happens after the Babylonian exile. Just to remind everyone, that's when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and sent many of the inhabitants into exile.
Right. And now, centuries later, they're allowed back, but their city is a mess. But, you know, our source actually says that this rebuilding of the walls by Nehemiah, it was probably a real event, which makes me wonder, what was the Persian Empire doing in all of this?
The Persian Empire at this time was massive. And under Cyrus the Great, they actually allowed the exiled Jews to go back to Jerusalem. I mean, this policy of religious tolerance, it was pretty brilliant.
From a political standpoint, it makes sense, yeah.
Exactly. When you have all these different groups within a huge empire, letting them practice their own religions is a pretty good way to prevent unrest.
It's a smart way to maintain control, I guess. So by allowing the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild, the Persians were basically creating like a pocket of loyalty within their empire, right?
Exactly. And Nehemiah's mission to rebuild the walls, it totally fits into that strategy.
But here's what I don't get. If the Persians were so focused on keeping things stable, why would they let someone like Nehemiah, who could be seen as a controversial figure, lead this rebuilding effort?
That is a good question. It seems like the Persians were smart enough to realize that working with local leaders, people like Nehemiah, was the best approach.
Yeah. It's probably easier to let someone who knows the culture and the politics handle things.
Right. They understood the local dynamics, the relationships. A Persian official coming in from the outside might not have had the same success.
So Nehemiah's task was to try and keep the peace, so to speak, to build these walls, not just with stones and mortar, but with diplomacy, too.
Right, definitely. Plus, think about the challenges he must have faced. Rivalries, finding resources, maybe even attacks. I mean, talk about pressure.
It's a story of leadership under really tough circumstances, isn't it? It's something we can probably all relate to in some way.
For sure. Haven't we all had those moments where we're trying to get something done and there are all these roadblocks?
Okay, so moving on to some of the, shall we say, challenging aspects of the Book of Nehemiah itself. Our source notes some interesting things. For example, the overlap and even some contradictions with the Book of Ezra.
Oh yeah, that's right. Ezra also talks about the rebuilding of Jerusalem.
Which begs the question, were these books written by one person or were they compiled from a bunch of different sources over time? And what does that tell us about the history they're trying to present?
Exactly. It raises so many questions about how these texts came to be, right?
Absolutely. Now, our listener source also mentions some of those laws in Nehemiah that, well, they seem a bit intolerant by today's standards, like the law prohibiting intermarriage with other groups.
Yeah. It's hard to reconcile that with what we know about the generally tolerant approach of the Persian Empire.
So how do scholars interpret these laws in light of that? I mean, it seems like a contradiction.
Well, the law forbidding intermarriage, it probably reflects that ancient focus on preserving cultural purity. But it also makes us think about how values and social norms change over time, right?
It's kind of like when you read a historical novel. You get caught up in the story, but you know the author probably took some creative liberties with the facts.
Exactly. And the source reminds us that Nehemiah's success is largely attributed to divine intervention, which, for believers, is totally part of their faith. But from a secular perspective, it's important to recognize that this is a common narrative device used in ancient storytelling.
So how does recognizing that kind of narrative device help us understand the text from a secular viewpoint? Does it change how we should read it?
I think so. It reminds us that ancient texts are often a blend of historical fact and legend and symbolism. You know, writers use these techniques to make their stories more engaging, to highlight certain themes, to teach moral lessons. We don't have to take every detail literally to appreciate these texts as incredible works of literature.
So to sum things up, the Book of Nehemiah provides a fascinating glimpse into ancient leadership, community rebuilding, and how history and faith intertwine. But as we've discussed, it's a story that requires us to think critically.
It definitely does. It leaves us with more questions than answers, which is part of what makes it so captivating.
So, here's something for you all to think about. If you consider that the Book of Nehemiah might be mixing historical fact with legend, does it change how you see the story? Does it change its messages?
It's definitely worth pondering, and we encourage you to continue exploring this book and other ancient texts. Don't be afraid to question what you read, and remember, there's always more to discover.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
See you next time.